following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning on the First Coast. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
Welcome to all who have been here before. And if you're brand new, stick around for a while. We talk about your finances and things that we think are important, but we'd much rather talk about what you think is important. First off, it is a glorious Saturday morning. If you don't live in Florida, that's too bad, isn't it?
It really is. It is so nice out today.
It really is. Just chilly enough when I took the doggy out at 6 o'clock that there was actually a little shiver.
Let's hope it stays this way for tournament week.
Well, it's coming up, which reminds me, a little discussion we had a minute ago. They're going to start seeing a lot of strangers in town real soon. They don't know where they're going. Cut them a little slack. They're here to spend a lot of money in our community. Let them live. You'll get where you're going even if you're 5 minutes later. So just try to be cool out there, okay? All right. All financial shows are not equal. This one is far more equal than others or something like that. Animal Farm? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so many people pre-record their shows, and you hear them all the time. You can listen to us at whatever o'clock this day, whatever o'clock that day. They repeat them a few times. All you get to hear is what they think is important. If you want to editorialize a little bit or just get your questions answered or just say hello, give us a call. The lines are open from the top of the show, as always, at area code 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. If you call us with a question or a comment, we will put you to the head of the line. It is our policy, and we stick with it. We do anticipate having a special call-in guest today who is going to be talking about the big event of this particular week because it's Small Business Week.
Yes, it is, and he happens to own one.
Yes, and as do we.
That is also true.
No one cares more about small business than other small businesses, and ours is about as small business can get. So naturally, since 1974, I personally have never been affiliated with a large company. I've always been in small business. It's near and dear to my heart. Adam's been quite some time now in the absence of a large company. So he also cares a lot about the fate of small business. And we have some problems in this country regarding small business. And we'll get into those topics when our call comes in or before or after, or when you call us and give us your story about your own small business or ask questions. Meanwhile, being a financial show, we'll give you a little wrap-up of what happened this week. It was a very ho-hum market week with some very notable things, and they weren't good. But they could be misconstrued or reconstrued.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed week all around.
It was. Jobs, where are the jobs?
Exactly. It's and that's an interesting topic that we'll get into more with our small business owner who's calling in. But the week really, it kind of felt worse than it was. We couldn't maintain any positive momentum. It seemed like we would get it and the market would go up only to see the gains given back by the end of the day. Or we plunged a couple times and then came back midday and it just couldn't get a direction either way. So all in all, the Dow shed 0.2%, the S&P dropped about 0.4%, and the NASDAQ lost 0.8%. For the year, the Dow and the S&P are still positive to the tune of 1.8% and 0.6% respectively, And the NASDAQ, which just can't seem to get a break this year, is down 5.4%.
Yeah, for every piece of good news, there's an offsetting piece of bad news.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And a lot of it has to do with those four stocks that led the market last year, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google.
And Apple's big enough to tank a couple of them from the overall standpoint.
In economic news, it was again mixed. It almost split down the middle, with 9 reports beating expectations, 10 missing, and 7 which were either on target or not having an estimate. One of the reports that missed this week was the ISM manufacturing report. March had been a very strong month at 51.8, and the expectation was that April was the strong month at 51.8, and May was supposed to come in at 51.4. The actual reading came in at 50.8, which is a miss, but you have to remember anything over 50 is expansion, signals expansion, so it really wasn't as bad as it could have been.
No, and durable orders are okay.
That is true. At the other end of the spectrum, the non-manufacturing report came in at 55.7 this month versus the expected 54.5, which brought the total ISM reading up to 55.1, which is the highest of the year, so that was a good sign. The worst news this week, as we mentioned, was on the jobs front, where the ADP report showed an increase of only 156,000 jobs versus an expected 195,000. The initial jobless claims were actually higher than expected for once, but still well below the 300,000 level. The worst report came on Friday, though, in the form of the employment situation report, where the reading was 160,000 jobs created versus 200,000 expected.
And they were all made up.
Yeah, pretty much. And the unemployment rate stayed the same at 5%. This month saw a huge increase in the amount of people exit the workforce, which was interesting. The job situation right now, I think, is about as confusing as I've ever seen it. And that's one thing I definitely want to talk about with Tom when he calls in. Mm-hmm. We're just a couple of weeks away from the end of the earnings season, which happens on May 19th when Walmart reports.
Yeah, I took a little tumble this week, too.
A little bit. So far, over 2,100 companies have reported and 61% have beat on earnings. The revenue beat rate stands at 55%, which is by no means a record, but it's much better than we saw in the last year.
But that 61 is down from 64 just a week ago. The trend line
That's
is
right.
not good.
Well, but you never know what the next 2 weeks are going to hold either. The best sectors so far by earnings beat rates are technology, materials, and consumer staples. Who would have thought it was technology with all the bad news we've heard there?
You know, it's a bit oversold, let's face it.
That's true. The worst sectors have been telecom, utilities, and nobody is going to be surprised by this, energy.
Right. Yeah. Obamanomics is a flop.
I think that's safe to say.
Face plant today, and it's not going to get better. And we're going to talk about some of the reasons it won't get better. Meanwhile, there's some other things going on underneath there. Why are people dropping out of the workforce? They can't find jobs. But why are there so many jobs available? Because they can't find workers.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. The whole situation just doesn't add up.
Well, is it willingness to work? Is it education? Is it experience? It is, I'd rather have no job than this stupid job.
That could be.
Is it attitude? Is it young people? Is it old people? I don't know, but the returns to labor are rising.
Yeah, there's a lot of, especially in the group that was the hardest hit by the recession, which was the either high school or less than high school education group. Those people have been getting back to work by the thousands, and that is a trend we haven't seen in quite some time.
If they're willing. The problem in general, I believe, is that people are just not willing to either move somewhere, take a job they don't necessarily want, work their way up. But because of that, it's creating something of a labor shortage, which means that prices of labor are rising, which is a self-correcting thing. When labor gets paid more, more people come into it. So as Adam says, it's about as confusing as anything I've ever seen out there. So is it good news or bad news? From an economic standpoint, it's terrible news. Obamanomics just flop. Plain and simple. All right. Trivia question today. Being Small Business Week. Brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. There are 29 million small businesses in America. How many million of those businesses only have one employee? And it's a pretty good-sized number. So give us a call, 222-8255. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Attention, Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now, 800-272-8139. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-272-8139. That's 800-272-8139. Again, 800-272-8139. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-750-4356.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-750-4356. That's 1-800-750-4356.
This is an important message about the IRS. Are you dealing with a tax crisis? If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? The IRS is offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, a government program for tax debt forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Paul Sibley, Director of Client Services with U.S. Tax Shield. The IRS is offering Fresh Start Initiatives because they actually want you to resolve your tax issues. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, stop the bleeding, and fix what caused your problem in the first place. Our goal is to negotiate a resolution you could live with and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-418-0572 for your free consultation and get protected now. That's 800-418-0572. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-418-0572.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as promised, on the line, we have a special guest. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Adam. How are you guys
today? Wonderful. Sunny and cool.
Good.
So what's up today?
How are you guys today? We're celebrating Small Business Owners Week.
We sure are.
We're probably even smaller than you.
Well, I don't know about that.
So, Tom, why don't you tell everyone about your business?
I am a multi-unit sandwich shop owner of a. We're part of a large franchise, and we're located here in Florida.
Nice, and you have several stores that you operate out of.
We have three units.
Okay,
how many employees roughly?
Depending on the time of year, during season, we go upwards of 90, and off-season, you know, down in the 70 range. So anywhere between 70 and 90, 95 employees.
Wow. Okay. You see that much seasonality in your business, huh?
We do. And the main thing is keeping those employees that we need during the season and keeping them busy when it slows down a little bit.
Yeah. Outside of that, what are the biggest hurdles that you face as a small business?
Well, right now it's attracting and keeping, quality help. It's keeping up with the government mandates that seem to be growing by the day. And, you know, the days of just selling sandwiches are over for us. You know, there's a lot of extra things that go with operating a small business these days.
That is the truth, and we know it. I'd like to talk a little bit more about what you mentioned with the government. What kind of hurdles do you guys face within owning a business of your nature?
Well, like I mentioned, just keeping up with the new mandates that are coming. You know, for example, with the ACA, Affordable Health Care Act, you know, keeping up with that. We've actually had to hire a company to make sure that we are in compliance with the paperwork that needs to be filed, for example, to determine if we're considered a large employer by full-time equivalents or a small employer, et cetera. So those are definitely some of the bigger hurdles that we're seeing these days.
Where do you fall? Are you under the 50 or over the 50 in FTEs?
We are currently under the 50.
And let me guess, you're not going to plan to open any more stores, right?
You know what? It's funny you should say that, Steve. We are, you know, we definitely keep that in mind when we're trying to decide what we're going to do with our next steps of our business. Do we want to grow? And if we grow, you know, all of a sudden we become a large employer and we have to offer insurance to employees, which is a huge expense for us.
So store D affects stores A, B, and C very significantly, I would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt to that.
Hmm. And that that doesn't seem to be much of an incentive for you guys to go out and grow. It seems weird that the government is actually, in some ways, hindering you from growing.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, you would want to have incentives to grow. I mean, small business is what keeps our country thriving. So we have spent lots of hours talking about how these mandates affect our business and what we're going to do in the future.
It's interesting. You would really hope that the government was giving incentives for small businesses to grow, but that just doesn't seem to be the case these days. It's unfortunate.
How's your turnover?
Unfortunate. Yes.
How's your labor turnover rate?
You know, in the restaurant business, it's typically high. We are very fortunate. We've assembled a great team of management. You know, we have to weed through employees to get the great ones. But when you do find great ones, you have to take care of them. And we believe in you know, giving raises fast when they've earned it. And that seems to help with the turnover.
Outside of the money issue, are there other incentives that you can offer that make you guys stand out as an employer?
Not particularly. You know, there's so many offerings from, you know, major corporations such as, you know, Starbucks.
Sure.
That offer so many great things to their employers that small employers just can't seem to do.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. We were also curious about the prices on your raw materials. Are you seeing those go up, down, or stay flat this year?
This year, commodities have stayed flat, maybe dropped down a little bit. But, you know, the trend over the last several years has been significant increases.
Sure. I wonder if that relates to the cost of transporting those to your stores with gas prices so cheap. I wonder if that's helped out keeping things flat.
It's reversing,
though. Our distributor, for example, used to charge a delivery fee when the prices were high. Mm-hmm. And that delivery fee has gone away, which was in their contract if gas went over X amount that they could add a delivery fee, and that has gone away. So that has definitely helped us.
Nice.
What about minimum wage? Are you subject to a lot of minimum wage people, and would it impact you if they went, and I don't mean the $15 an hour, but if it went up 50 cents or a dollar?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, typically, as a small business owner, when we see those small increases, which, by the way, Florida did not have here going into 2016, which is the first time I can remember in a long time, that we weren't subject to a minimum wage increase because we are higher in federal than the federal wage here in Florida. So typically we absorb those costs when they're small, but, you know, as all businesses, whether it's retail or restaurants, when you take your price increases, you definitely have to look at that and put it in, put that knowledge of what that labor is costing into your price increases.
I would imagine that a 50 cent price increase over 70 to 90 employees or whatever it is at that time, that would add up pretty quick on a weekly basis, I would imagine.
It does. The last minimum wage increase that went up about 10 cents cost my little company about $15,000 a year.
Yeah, that's significant.
Yeah, and whose money is that, right? Last guy who gets paid?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the last guy that gets paid. That's right.
Yep. You got any expectations for the election and its impact on your business?
You know, it's going to be really interesting. You know, what we've learned here the last couple of weeks, or the last week, I should say, of what the presidential election is going to look like. You know, we've got one candidate that wants to raise taxes on everybody, and another candidate that wants to lower taxes for everybody. You know, there's no doubt when people get money in their hands, they spend it. And less taxes, I think, would be a really positive thing for our economy to get it stimulated and get it going.
Yeah, not just for you personally, but for your customers to have more free cash.
Yeah, well, 70%, the economy is 70% consumer-driven.
It is. It is. And you put a couple more bucks in everybody's pockets every week, they're going to spend it, whether it's on sandwiches or at the home furnishing place or what have you. It's going to be good. It would be good for everybody.
We're getting it back.
An automatic stimulation.
Yeah, we're getting it hit again at the gas pump, which is starting to drain money out of people's pockets that have been going back in for the last year or two.
And we see that concern in our business.
I'm not surprised.
When people have that extra, you know, $6-7 that they're putting, that was going into their tank and now it was going into their pocket, we see that. You know, maybe they can eat a lunch one more day a week. And now it's kind of going back the other way. So we definitely feel that.
It's funny. You never think about it on a daily basis. Should I go get gas or should I go get a sandwich? But you probably subconsciously make those kind of decisions just about every day. How much money do I have sitting in my wallet and what do I want to spend it on? And you would be the obvious beneficiary of that extra cash. So also, Tom, I wanted to ask you, we are financial planners, so I can't avoid the topic. Do you guys do tax planning in your business?
We do, and it's been interesting the last few years. You know, we're always planning for taxes, and the government has graced us with Section 179, which allows us to deduct equipment the last few years, but you know, of course they don't announce that until the 12th hour. You know,
yeah. Makes it really hard to plan for that.
So yeah, it really made it difficult for us to say, okay, are we going to be able to write off this new equipment or the remodels that we would have to do? And we've had to kind of dual tax plan. What if we get those Section 179 and what if we don't?
I don't remember offhand if that was one of the ones that they made permanent or not. Do you recall?
I don't recall that, Steve. I don't. It's just been year by year for us the last few years when I've been working directly with my accountant.
They did freeze a few things, and we've always encouraged people to do what you do. Plan as if it's going to happen, but have a plan B, too.
That's correct. It's always important to have a plan B.
No doubt. Speaking of plan Bs, have you done any estate planning for your small business? Do you think about what happens if something were to happen to you?
We have. We have definitely worked hard on estate planning, particularly the last 5 years. The first thing we did is we put our company into a trust.
Okay.
I would recommend everybody talk to their lawyer to see if that works best with their business. So we have a trust to protect ourselves, in case the unfortunate demise comes early. There's two partners in our business, and we've placed life insurance plans on each other. So,
good deal.
If one of us should die, and then we have a buy-sell program, buy-sell agreement in place. And so we already know what's going to happen.
Great.
Cool. All right, music's playing.
Really,
we're going to have to get out of here. I really appreciate your call, Don and Marshall. Hang on through the break, if you would. We'll get at it. Tom, I can't thank you enough for adding to the show. Don't go away, anybody. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Q100. Hugh Hewitt, Laura Ingram, Dennis Prager, The Savage Nation, Mark Levin, WBOB, 94.1 and AM 600. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The bulk collection of Americans' telephone records has ended, but calls and emails from Americans are still being swept up by U.S. surveillance work targeting foreigners. Congress is making a renewed push to find out just how many calls and emails are involved. The newly elected mayor of London has a simple message saying he'll be a mayor for all the people of different faiths and even atheists. Sadiq Khan is the first Muslim to be elected to that job. Russia says a fragile ceasefire in the northern Syrian city of Aleppo has been extended 72 hours. The defense ministry says the extension was made at Moscow's initiative. North Korea preparing to bestow upon its leader, Kim Jong-il, its very top title. That will happen during its ruling party Congress, which is now in session. It's another sign that the third heir to North Korea's dynasty of Kims is firmly in control, despite his country's deepening international isolation. This is SRN News.
25 years has seen a lot of changes, but one thing hasn't changed. The quality of CopyFax, a family-owned business taking pride in their service and products. CopyFax offers easy document management to store and back up all of your business files. CopyFax is the only local distributor for the Samsung product line and services the full HP printer fleet. Your choice for multifunction office management. Update and simplify today. 904-296-1600 and online at CopyFax.com. CopyFax is proud to serve our local military.
Thinning or balding hair? IHRS can now stimulate hair growth and reverse thinning hair for both men and women by using your own stem cells through platelet-rich plasma treatments. You will obtain rapid new hair growth through your own stem cells by using your own blood through platelet-rich plasma. This is a safe and easy procedure with no downtime. Now you can stimulate hair growth and obtain healthier and more hair as early as 3 months after one treatment. For more information, call IHRS at 1-877-955-IHRS. That's 1-877-955-4477. Now you can stimulate hair growth and reverse thinning hair by using your own hair stem cells through platelet-rich plasma in your frontal hairline, crown area, and entire top of your head. This is a safe and easy procedure with no downtime. For more information, call 1-877-955-IHRS. That's 1-877-955-4477.
Shepard Smith is, first of all, a very, very unintelligent man. He's a lightweight. Shepard Smith is a lifetime Democrat. Shepard Smith is for Hillary Clinton, as is his boss, Rupert Murdoch, in my estimation, and by what I've been able to determine through back channels. The entire network is for Hillary Clinton, make no mistake about it. So they're glad that Trump's been knocked out in Colorado, and they hope it becomes a model for America. What they want is no election.
The Savage Nation at 3 on WBOB 94.1. The Answer.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, May 11th at 6 p.m., enjoy free weekly group runs at the Fernandina Beach High School track. Wednesday, May 11th at 7 p.m. at Square Dance Lessons at the Arlington Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville. And Saturday, May 14th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit jackscommunityevents.com.
How long will it take to get where you're going? WBOB 94.1 has the answer.
No action on the roads. Weather's beautiful, too. Sunny skies, at least through Monday. Looking for a high today near 80, up to 88 for Mom's Day. 83 for your Monday. Mostly clear tonight. Lows 61. Clear Sunday night. Lows of 67. And mostly clear again on Monday night. Lows 71 degrees. It's currently 74 at WBOB 94.1, the answer.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And there are lines open. There are also some lines waiting, which we're going to attend to just a second. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Today is a classic day for understanding why you might want to have a lawn service. Because things are growing as we sit there and watch them these days in the sunshine and beautiful weather. So give Troy a call at 662-9794. Trivia question is open. Of the nation's 29 million small businesses, how many million of them employ only one person? Us, we, whatever, the truly self-employed. Meanwhile, good morning, Don.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you very, very much for taking my call.
Well, thanks for your patience.
Nice to talk to you. I've been listening to you for God only knows how many years. At least goes back, 15 or maybe even more than that.
That was about when I started.
Yeah, that's about right.
Uh-huh. Well, and thank you.
And prior to that, to your former employer and so forth, uh-huh. I also went to hear his advice one day, take care advantage of his free hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard not just y'all, but pretty much everybody talking on investment shows about something that, and I can't recall the name of it, but it's some sort of an advisory formula that you apply to portfolios to determine, I think it's the aggressiveness, and mm-hmm. to determine, what am I talking about, do you know?
Yeah, you're talking about modern portfolio theory, fundamentally, which is a way to analyze a portfolio, which is any collection of financial assets, because there are two quantifiable features of every portfolio. The first one is yield. What yield means is what can I reasonably expect to make in a year on average over a long period of time.
Okay.
Second thing you can measure using these techniques is risk. Now, if I'm an insurance agent or something like that and I start talking risk, it could be the risk of bad health, the risk of death, something like that. But
I got a feeling that that's the one that they're talking about on this formula.
It is. Absolutely it is. Because risk has a different definition in investing. What risk means in investing is variability of returns.
Now, basically, what he threw out at me without really explaining at all what it might be was 28%.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather that's quite high. But
not really that much.
Pardon me?
No, it's not really that high, depending on what number is representing there. Uh-huh. Are you familiar with the bell curve?
Yes.
Everything in life, pretty much, it seems, falls under the bell curve. Well, investing is no different than anything else. If you accumulate these assets into a portfolio and you have enough history as to how this portfolio or the assets in it have performed, we have incredible software nowadays using the modern portfolio theory that will analyze the portfolio, and it will tell you the two things. The first one is yield, and that's the center, the highest point of that bell curve, and that would be what you would expect to make in a year on average over a long period of time.
Now, one thing that I've done very recently is I went through all my investments and figured out what the return had been over the years, basically on an annualized percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite high. And
congratulations!
Yeah, no kidding.
It had to be dumb luck because it sure wasn't.
An admission there, folks.
Anyway, can you tell me where I might best be able to learn enough about that to apply it to my own portfolio?
Well, if you want to come in and see us out in Jack's Beach, we have a magic piece of software.
It is really cool.
It imports your portfolio for you, and at the press of a button, it gives you all that. And it's online, and it's modern, it's up to date, and the prices of all the assets are as of yesterday's closing. And I'm sitting right across looking at a veritable wizard of using that software. He sometimes teaches me where to press a button or something, but he's really good at it. And it can tell you all this. If you think of that bell curve again, all the numbers that fall onto the right side or the left side underneath the bell curve, those are different rates of return that happen in different years. The whole is nothing more than the sum of all of its parts over time. The The term risk means standard deviation of return. In other words, how far is any year inside or outside of that line that is the yield, all underneath the bell curve. And we can explain this to you a whole bunch better if you would like to come into the office. And I'm telling you, in living color and in fewer seconds than you would possibly imagine, especially if you want to ship us the portfolio first and we'll have it pre-analyzed, but we can show you everything we're talking about. And better yet, this software will take what you've got and we can make changes to it right there in real time and say what would happen if those changes were made. These are new things. The theory is old. It was back from about 1952, but the application in real-time software is very, very new on the market. And one of the things Adam and I did when we established this business last year is we wanted to be technological leaders in this kind of information. So it's very important to us to have up-to-date processes.
As far as doing your own research, though, I can't help but think the best way to start on learning modern portfolio theory is to get a college freshman statistics book and read it cover to cover, because that is the basis for all of this.
And if you get through all that without falling asleep too many times,
you're a better man than I.
There are some really good books on investing too, and on asset allocation. And if you want to send us an email, we can itemize some of that. It's not really germane to too many people listening, but there are some very, very good sources for learning about this whole thing. I'd be happy to supply some of those over email or phone or something.
I hate to be negative, but my biggest single problem in life is trying to get my email to work properly.
Why don't you just give us a call then?
Yeah, we also have a phone number. It's 685-1505 if you want to call
the
office. 685-1505.
Okay.
And if you get onto our website, you can go through there too, and that's VanWeFinancial.com. But there's a lot to learn and some great ways to do it.
Spell the Van Wees.
Adam's good at it.
It's VANWIE, or if you're in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo.
Financial.com. No services or anything like that, just Van Wee Financial.
VANWIE.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Financial.
We're Dutch.
Yep. Don, do you want to take a shot at the trivia?
I have to. The only thing I could do is give you a guess of 93%.
That is a little high.
It is.
I will take it either in percent or in actual number, and it's a little bit high, but not as high as some people might think. So it was a great guess, actually. So we look forward to hearing from you. Really appreciate the call.
Thanks very much for all the work you guys do. To me, you guys are my Saturday school lesson.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. Take care of yourself. Bye. Marshall, good morning.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
You broached one of my favorite topics.
What's that?
The small business person.
Oh, I thought you meant the nice weather.
Oh, the nice weather's great too. And, you know, out here at the beach, you know, we're so blessed to have so many small businesses. Local folks have been around for a long time, but a lot of your listeners in various parts of town and area, I think we all miss what we can do to assist the small business community. And that is, when we're thinking about a product or a service, try to think about your neighbor where you live who has a small business that provides that. And there's nothing as enjoyable as, for example, that restaurant that you go to that truly is an entrepreneur running it.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one.
You're absolutely right.
And, you know, you make a friend at the same time and you realize, just to give you an idea, out here at the beach, Colonel Mustard's, you know, is a little place that several years ago we decided we would start having our men's Tuesday morning breakfast there for Bible study. And we made a friend. Well, we learned so much from Craig about the small business person.
Marshall, exactly. I'm up on a hard break. Can I put you on hold and catch you right after the break?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, folks, we are, as I said, up on a hard break. I don't control these things. I wish I could. But we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. We'll be talking with Marshall right on the other side of a very short break while we pay some bills.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-297-1665. That's 1-800-297-1665. 1-800-297-1665. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Attention females with ovarian cancer. Breaking news. A plaintiff who used a talcum-based powder and died from ovarian cancer has been awarded compensation over claims that the manufacturer knew decades ago that its talcum-based powder could cause cancer and failed to warn consumers. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer and used talc or talcum-based powders, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Medical studies have linked the long-term use of talcum-based powder to ovarian cancer. Millions of women have been unknowingly exposed to these toxic substances. If you or a loved one has used talc or talcum-based powders and have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer or died, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call 800-491-5048. That's 800-491-5048. Again, that's 800-491-5048. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-4915. 800-475-4915. 800-475-4915.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we've been talking to Marshall, who is a friend of the show and has a lot more friends out at the beach and other places, I know.
Well, you know,
thanks for holding, by the way.
I do actually have a financial question for you, but just the last point on the small business person.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing like creating a neighbor, a friend. And when you go out and you find that small business that you can do business with, that's perfect. When you go to the, shall we call them the big box store or whatever, that's never going to be your friend, okay? But a guy who runs a sandwich shop like Tom, you know, you get to know somebody like that. Those are the hardest working people you ever meet. I mean, it's amazing to me how hard they work and it's so easy for us to make a big impact on their business when you tell friends, hey, look, I love going to Colonel Mustard's or Milano's. The people that run the place are great. They give great.
Sure, and you can influence a percent or two of their overall business with people you know, where you can't even make a dent at Costco or Best Buy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Although if anybody can make a dent at those places, I can.
Yeah, especially Costco.
Yeah.
Yeah. My money question for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, the 10-year interest rate swap, a 10-year index, is so crucial to my individual business.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Around the mortgage industry. Yeah. And it's just amazing to me. It's kind of like a sleepy drunk that tries to get up off the floor. You know, as soon as it gets up just a little bit,
clump.
Yep.
I'm going back.
Yep.
What's y'all's thought? I mean, is it supply and demand? Is the Fed encouraging that? Is the Fed's absence of activity discouraging an increase? What are your thoughts?
Well, the Fed is encouraging equity purchases with their interest rate policy. That money flows out of treasuries. So when there's no demand for anything except somebody who's trying to make a penny, where are they going to go nowadays? But you're seeing a little shift in the interest curve just here the last week or so. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, it started going up. In fact, I was talking with some clients around that subject because it was impactful to them. But then, dang, this week, you know, that sleepy drunk came up again.
Yeah, crashed again.
Huh? You know? So
the Fed's at zero. Okay, they're at 0.375. Let's round that. Zero. There is no such thing as an interest rate. It's the stupidest policy in the world. It doesn't work. We've got 20-what years in Japan telling us how dumb this is. Now they're even talking about going negative with interest rates, which I don't think will happen here, but several countries
much
have.
Much more likely to go up than down at this point.
I agree. But why would even Warren Buffett, I say that like he doesn't know anything, even Warren Buffett said, if they charge me to put money in the bank, I'm taking my money out of the bank.
Maybe it's not as dumb as I thought.
No. So it's just wrong-headed policy that ignores the dictates of the free market, if I may put it succinctly.
Thank you.
I thought so.
Why I asked the Beach Boys the question today.
Yeah, they're interfering with market mechanisms that have worked for 230 years, and they're wondering why it's not working.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for someone to show me an example of where the government interfered in something and made it better.
Well, how about the jobs number? Did that show you? Oh, wait, no, that was a failure, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad.
Epic fail. So the answer to your question, in my humble opinion, is that possibly the only thing collectively dumber than the U.S. Congress is the Fed. How's that?
I like it.
That'll be interesting if we have a new Fed chairman coming next year.
It's possible.
That'll have some impact.
It will be, I'm not sure that it will have an impact because it's so highly politically charged, but I can hope you're right.
They're all the same anyway.
They are.
One thing I would hope of a new Fed chairman is they would shape up the CFPB because that's the only thing that have some power over them.
I don't want them to shake it up. I want it to shake them out. What business do we have of creating a new department and then assigning it to the Federal Reserve instead of the Congress or some part of the executive branch?
Well, we know where that came from.
Yeah. We certainly do.
That's a topic for another day. Too much to get into.
Look at the imbecile that runs the thing. He's a socialist. They are all socialists up there.
Well, I mean, Ms. Warren designed it.
Yes, and she couldn't even get herself appointed to it, so she ran for Congress and they elected her.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. So they put this guy, Cordroy. Hey, read his bio sometime. Jeez. Yeah. I get so frustrated, Marshall. You look at all this stuff. People don't know it. The consumer financial protection, and it reports to the Federal Reserve, which isn't even part of government, and we don't own it, and no one knows. Unless they listen to the show.
When you get a little frustrated, though, at least you have this opportunity.
That's right. That's why we don't do a political show.
That's right.
You can walk out. You can walk outside. You can look at where we live and go,
yep, you're right.
Something's right in the world.
There you go.
I will only talk politics as it relates to finance, because if you got me going, you know me well enough that you wouldn't want to do that.
No, you definitely
wouldn't. I know myself well enough I wouldn't want to do that.
Give yourself a heart attack.
Exactly right.
All right,
Marshall, thanks again. I really appreciate it. You want to take a shot at this trivia?
I think we lost him. Yep.
he's very right, and he's very insightful. And the thing I like about Marshall and people like him aside from the fact that he's also a small business.
That's true.
He is directly involved in people's finances every day, and he is becoming more and more regulated. I deal with him on a couple things at any given time, and his bag of tricks, I guess, that's handed to him, not the one that he designs himself, it's bigger and bigger and more onerous. And this happens in every part of your financial life nowadays. Overregulation. What is it? The two things that small business say are the biggest two problems right now?
They are, give me a second, taxes and government red tape.
And you notice that labor, which I know used to be one of the biggest problems, it's still a huge problem.
It's only, quality of labor is fourth at 12%.
Yes. Yeah. And when you think about that, the fact that government regulation and all things like control exceed the problems that small business people have with just hiring and keeping good people, it is not a situation that is sustainable.
No, not at all. And it kills me every time the politicians get up there and blame business for not hiring or not paying enough, when in reality, the only thing standing in their way, or at least the top two things, are the government. The same people sitting up there talking about it. It's such hypocrisy.
I've been reading some of the new things that are coming down from our exalted Congress again about mortgages. Remember 08, people?
I remember it well.
And remember what caused it?
That would be the government.
Mortgages that were required to be made that had no chance of success caused it. The aftermath of that was 20% down payment requirements. Automatically, with that and a good FICO score, you can predict the chances of success of a mortgage at a very high rate. Guess what government has been doing lately with down payment requirements?
Yeah, they've been dropping again, and there's a lot of new programs coming out that are catered to people who cannot come up with that and don't have good FICO scores.
3% down. Folks,
we never learn.
We're headed for it again, and it's always right at the feet of the Congress. Chris, you want to take a guess?
Trivia, 25 million.
Oh,
you're getting close, there. But just a little bit too high. We appreciate it, though.
I tried. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it. Always fun to hear from you. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. Yeah, just a little bit high on that one, but not too much. This number actually surprised me quite a bit.
I actually found it right on. I thought
I did. You had a couple more small business points. As long as we're on that day, let's wrap them up here.
So small businesses employ over 77 million people in this country. Hmm. And if the American small business workforce was a country, it would rank 20th in the world in population, ahead of Thailand and right behind the Democratic Republic of Congo. Interestingly enough, yeah.
All right, the number of single-person small businesses is 22 million out of 29 million small businesses, which are defined as 500 employees and less normally.
There are exceptions, such as the air conditioning manufacturers can employ up to 1,250 employees and still classify themselves as a small business.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I get it. Pun intended, absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to have to get out of here. The music's playing. You can buy $4.36 of Amazon profits for $659. You can buy Exxon for $28.82. The world's crazy. Don't go away. We'll be here next week, 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.